So Yuri, what I'm very interested in is, if we speak about soil, which part of the earth are we actually talking about?
I haven't heard that one before. So let me take an analogy. Okay. We have skin on our body. Yeah. So think about soil as the skin of the earth. Okay. Not many people know that we have just 3 feet of soil on an average spread across the earth. Not less, not more. Some places could be more, some places could be less, but it's just 3 feet. Yeah. What's important to understand is that it's this 3 feet, yeah, which is the source of us, and indeed 87% of all life forms, right? And when you think about that, you realize how critical this part is. So notwithstanding the fact that we have 4,000 miles of earth beneath us, yeah, in terms of depth or diameter, it's this 3 feet which lends itself to life. So imagine if I was to peel your skin off, you'd bleed to death. And that's pretty much the risk that we're running with our soil today.
But it's nice because if I think about it as just another person walking on this earth, the skin is something I can actually influence. So it's this part of the earth that humans can influence that is becoming a problem now. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the entire premise of the Save Soil movement, that you know, we are in a position of being able to do something about it, right? And it actually starts with, like you're saying, you know, understanding what the problem is. Yeah. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that this limited supply of life-giving soil is, at the risk of hyperbole, is actually close to extinction. Okay, so let me just try and explain that. The degradation of soil is a worldwide phenomenon, right? In the land that we are living in India, 62% of the soil is turning into sand. Yeah, it's on its way to becoming a desert. In Africa, it's said that two-thirds of the lands will no longer be able to cultivate food by 2030. US has already lost 50% of its soil, and Europe has 75% of its soil less than the required organic content. So it's not surprising that experts like the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification are saying that, you know, well, in by 2050, which is not a long time away, 90% of all the lands will be degraded. And there are even experts who are saying that, listen, at this rate, we have only 60 years of food harvest left. So, you know, think about it. Living in a world without enough food, you know, we haven't grown up like that. You know, our ancestors were used to famines, but we have not, you know, and that's the prospect that we have.
And has this problem been created by humans, and can it also be solved by humans, or is it...
Well, so before I address that, you know, I think before I address the issue of how can it be solved, you know, it's instructive to understand that, you know, it's not just a problem of food, because it'll give you the sense of how soil affects the entirety of our life. Yeah. So, for example, we talk about climate change. Yeah. Most people don't realize that soil is the largest carbon sink on the planet. Okay. Which means that about 40% of the climate change problem is because of soil. Yeah. Now, we're all aware, for example, secondly, of the dwindling water resources, river and groundwater. But the root cause of that is the fact that soil is losing its capacity to hold water. Yeah. Then there's the biodiversity challenge, right? Now, I mentioned that, you know, 87% of all life forms come from this top layer. Okay. But it's not well known that 27,000 species, 27,000, are going extinct every single year. Okay. You know, and I mean, when I first heard that and read that, and these are all statistics from, you know, we're only looking at statistics from the UN and stuff like that, you know, because we don't want to get lost in the debate about statistics. It's the big picture which is important, you know, and it's just mind-boggling, you know, and it's happening beneath our feet and we don't even realize it.
And the drama is going to occur in 40 years from now, or 30 years even.
Absolutely. And the fact is there are so many other knock-on factors. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, it's a well-known fact that, you know, we have a socioeconomic situation where the vast majority of people in the world involved in rural agriculture, you know, are poor and impoverished because the whole situation of land and water is so poor. So the way to think about this is that, you know, whether it's food, whether it's hunger, whether it's climate change, whether it's water, whether it's biodiversity, whether it's nutrition, whether it's deprivation of livelihoods, blah, 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 you know, you know, whichever way you look at it, the overarching problem, the meta problem, that's today's fancy word. Yeah. thanks to you know who. You know, you know, the meta problem is indeed soil. So, yeah.
So what is the Safe Soil campaign all about?
Ah, okay. So, you know, now I've built up the problem so much, and I hope the solution lives up to its to the build-up. Okay, so the Safe Soil solution has two broad pillars.
Yeah.
Okay, the first pillar has to do with educating and bringing awareness to the citizens of the world, right? So that they in turn can support the cause in their specific countries, right? Once people are aware of the soil situation and the problems and so on and so forth, we want to empower them, empower them to actually spread the word, right? And to facilitate that process, the website on Safe Soil has information and toolkits and what have you, right? To help that process along. Okay, so that's one part of the foundation of the movement. The second pillar is that we want to help initiate policy-driven changes by all the governments to revitalize soil. Now you may ask, well, that's a lofty intent. How are you going to do it? Okay. And what we're doing really is that we have a whole team of global experts and scientists, right, who are volunteering their time and their resource to develop recommendations. For you won't believe this. I didn't believe it actually until I saw some of it. Sneak preview. Some advantage of being in this game. But you won't believe it. We're doing it for all 193 countries. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't even know there were 193 countries in the world. Okay. So what's being done? And there are some principles that are there. Yeah, and the principles are that, you know, the team, this global expert team, is looking at the soil types in a country.
Yeah.
They are looking at the agroclimatic zones of a country. And indeed, they are looking at what are the best practices that already exist in the country.
Yeah.
And from that, they are producing a whole range of recommendations for a country.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A menu of options.
Yeah.
It's not prescriptive. Yeah. So the idea is that we will then give that to the government.
Yeah.
Yeah, this range of options. And they will then fine-tune that and consider it and make some choices and move forward with that. So that's the second pillar. Now, you can see that this first pillar that I talked about awareness generation, and the second pillar about initiating policy change by the governments, they're quite interlinked. Okay, and they're interlinked because once there is a groundswell of public opinion, it becomes much easier for governments to initiate policy change.
Yeah.
And more importantly, actually effectively implement them on the ground, because it's the people who implement them on the ground. Yeah. So that's what we're doing. And that is why the primary objective of the movement is, on the one hand, to reach 3.5 billion people.
Yeah.
Not one less.
Yeah. You're counting.
I'm counting. Well, we got one and two. Two down. We've only got so much more left to go. Yeah. So we want to reach 3.5 billion people. And indeed, we are working with actually 193 governments. So that's the breadth of the canvas. So let's see how far we get.
So I hear influence the government, but also it starts all on the ground. It starts with people, the humans who want to save the planet, and it should swell from there. So what as an individual can I do? Because I read your Each One Reach One, which I really like.
Right.
But if I want to reach one more, so we're three people, what do I do? Where do I go?
So you can become an Earth buddy, okay? We had, all these people saying that, listen, we need to become Earth buddies. You know, we hug the Earth.
Yeah.
You know, you remember the tree huggers?
Yeah.
You know, so now we have, Earth buddies, okay? And the whole idea is, of course, this is only if you really want to, but we want to make it easy for people to participate, yeah? And one of Sadhguru's perspectives is that we need to initiate big-scale policy change. Yeah, so it's not enough for each one of us to just tend to making our backyards green. Because if we just make our backyards green, that will not solve the problem. Okay, so what he wants to do is, we want to actually make change which will work. Yeah, which will solve the problem. And therefore, the Earth buddies, or in fact anybody, you don't necessarily have to sign on to be an Earth buddy. You can just be a normal person and do it as well. I don't want to sound evangelical, the idea is that can you actually influence your friends and family? Yeah, each one of us has a circle of influence.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the problem? Can you bring awareness to the issue? and use social media, use digital media, use any media. The tools are so easy. Share comments, educate yourself a little bit so that you can talk about it. And so that when the government starts to talk about the changes that are required, you know, it will resonate with you and you can provide a supportive voice for that.
Yeah.
And that's the need of the hour.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
It was great speaking.
So I must say that, that's what you can do at one level. But the biggest part of the campaign, the focal point, is Sadhguru himself, right? And, when we were talking about how do we get a campaign of this kind off the ground, which is not a campaign, it's a movement, you need to have something that brings it all together. We're wondering how will it ever happen? And then, of course, there is Sadhguru. You sort of account for everybody, and then you say, and Sadhguru said, I will do the following. And I just fell off my chair when I heard that, okay? So what he's going to do is that for 100 days, he's going to ride alone on his motorcycle, right, for 30,000 kilometers across 26 countries, right? And this is going to start just now, on March the 21st, and it's going to go all the way through, threading through 26 countries, and it's going to end in India. And, I kind of feel, man, if he can do that, the least I can do.
This is one person.
One person. If he can do that, the least I can do is spend five minutes,
educating yourself,
as I do on WhatsApp and all manner of other social media already, in spreading the word, and at the end of it, I kind of, like he says, this is not Isha's movement, this is your movement, my movement,
It's everybody's earth and everybody's problem.
It's everybody's
problem. We can all be part of the solution, right?
Yeah, we can not just be part of the solution. How should I say it? Anybody who's made of soil, should be part of it. Yeah. Anybody who walks in soil should be part of it. Anybody who wants to leave behind a planet worth living in for their children should be part of it. So that certainly includes you and me. Yeah. I don't know about others.
Well, we're in already, so let's... Okay, thanks so much.
It was great talking to you, Lorraine. Yeah.